The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Wednesday, December the 2nd. This is our third podcast today. That's how we roll. And there was a 3:40 p.m. NFL game, so we had to do a podcast afterwards. The Ravens beat the Steelers. But before we get into that in our Wednesday football recap, I want to point out that this is college basketball season. SZN. There is no better time in the world to be betting on college basketball. It is the best thing to bet on. It's fun. It's exhilarating. And I have two pieces of advice for you. First, well, I actually have one piece of advice for you, I guess. But first, I want to point out that the CBS Sports app, the free CBS Sports app, is available before, during, and after the games for the best user experience out there. And the most important part about this is as you're traveling around, or maybe not traveling, or just laying around, you can't watch all the basketball games at once, and the football, and the college football, the bowl games, all of that. You need the CBS Sports app so you can star and favorite the games and get the alerts when points are scored, when the game is finalized, find out if it's a close game, and make sure you know if you're covering or not. So go get the free CBS Sports app. There's fantastic gambling information on there. It is available for free in the App Store. And you can actually watch this podcast on the CBS Sports app. And if you do that, we're best friends, basically. What do you think about that, Breach?
Well, I think that you already have a lot of best friends. I don't know if you can fit any more in your circle because it takes you about 6 hours to get back to from one of my texts, for instance. I send you a text. I wait all day. I don't know where I am on your best friend list. So maybe these are like, you could put them in the outer tier if they, or maybe they're above me. I don't know. You're probably going to be above me. So just subscribe.
No comment.
All right. Let's get to the game. Steelers 19, Ravens 14. Oy vey. If you took the Steelers -10 or -10.5, because the Ravens obviously covered and they did so in very surprising fashion. Thanks to Deontay Johnson bricking one off his mitts. Not converting a first down, giving the ball back to the Ravens, and Trace McSorley, Penn State legend Trace McSorley, hitting Marquise Hollywood Brown, a.k.a. Milk Carton, because he'd been missing all season, for a long touchdown in which multiple Steelers players, if this were a college football game, like a D2 college football game, you'd accuse him of point shaving, but it's a professional sports event, so that probably didn't happen. The under still easily cashed. But the Ravens managed to storm through the back door, ruining everybody's Christmas.
Well, unless you bet on the Ravens, then your Christmas is actually better and your baby's getting better gifts.
Did you bet on the Ravens?
I'm Ian Wilson. Hi, yo. Silver away.
I am Trace McSorley.
Are you betting in Tennessee, Breach?
Since November 1st.
I mean, are you like actively betting?
I would like everyone to know I finished the first month. November 1st was the first day to December 1st, including this game. I have plus $90.
Ooh, nice.
That's $3 a day I'm making. That's enough to buy one thing of baby food.
What did you deposit? Like what did you deposit if you're up $90?
$200 to start. So I'm at $290.
You've gotten.
50. Oh yeah. If you look at it from that way, it's almost 50% return. Yeah, so I'm happy.
What do you bet in a game? Like 10, 25 bucks?
25 max. But okay. I'll do a couple parlays with $10. I'll switch it up.
I like it. And can you do it on is it FanDuel?
It is actually BetMGM.
Oh, okay. And you have like an app you can just bet at your house?
And William Hill is not in Tennessee. Just in case our friends at William Hill are listening, I would have signed up with them in a second. Yeah, there's an app. They only have FanDuel, DraftKings, and BetMGM are the only three options here.
Oh, that's three options. That's pretty good. We got nothing in North Carolina except, you know.
And you can only do it on your phone. There's no casino. There's no sports books to go to. Everything is on your computer and phone in Tennessee.
That sounds great.
It is great.
Yeah. You just bet legally on your phone. That's fantastic. So Ben Roethlisberger, your top fantasy performer with 14 points. Hollywood Brown tied him with 14. Incredible. Ryan, from a Steelers perspective, what do you take away from this game, if anything? By the way, the Ravens eliminated from the AFC North in this game. So you can sort of do like a dance, you know, you sort of do like a, like suck it Ravens dance or whatever that would be. But
I would only do that dance to the Trace McSorley song. Which we just found out thanks to Debo.
I mean, it's not like look, the Steelers defense played pretty well. I mean, RG3 finished 7 of 12, 33 yards and a pick.
They played fantastic. You mentioned the Trace McSorley busted play at the end, which I knew that was going to come just because. But the only other touchdown came after that, after Ray McCloud fumbled the punt at the 15, 20 yard line, wherever it was. And they had a short field. And the only success RG3 had was running the ball. And it looked like he may Mike Tirico, who called the game for Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth, seemed to indicate, like, in the first half, they thought Trace McSorley might come in. But it wasn't until the second half when it looked like RG3 pulled a hammy that he came in. But I don't think it made much difference. They were basically the same person.
So here is where – so the Ravens made it across into Pittsburgh territory four times. Once on that touchdown on the muff punt where they got the ball there, and they started on the Pittsburgh 16. Again – to close out the first half, which we'll get to in a second, where they scored 0 points from the Pittsburgh 1. The next drive to open the third quarter, they got to the Pittsburgh 39 and punted. And then, of course, they threw a 70-yard touchdown. So they ended in Pittsburgh territory, but never actually got across half field.
I think I heard correctly. The touchdown was the passing first down of the game for the Ravens. I think that's what I heard correctly.
That is correct.
They only had one. So, yeah.
There you go. They had a bunch of rushing first downs.
There was a point in the third quarter where the Ravens did not have a passing first down and the Steelers did not have a rushing first down.
Wow.
It looked like a week one preseason game if you made all the starters play after not doing anything during training camp.
I thought Big Ben actually looked kind of sharp.
He was the sharpest one out there. He should I don't know what you can say these days. He should take his wide receivers out behind the woodshed for all those drops. I mean, there were seven, six and counting. What are you aying about?
I mean, I was just saying, if I'm Big Ben, if I'm taking him out behind the woodshed, because they're going to be like, well, what about all those times we bailed you out in the first 11 weeks of the season? We owed you. We're all even now. Let's get the week.
That's fine, but it's probably frustrating in the moment. And I think I haven't heard Mike Tomlin's press conference yet, but people on Twitter seem to think he's very angry about the way things transpired. I think part of that were the drops. And they weren't tough drops. In fact, the most difficult play of the game was my boy James Washington, Oklahoma State, making that moon ball catch, which I thought was 100% going to be a pick six in the fourth quarter. I don't know how he caught it. I don't know why Big Ben thought it was a good idea to throw that pass. That was the toughest play of the game, and it wasn't even close. But the rest of the game was marred by a ton of drops. But I think Ben is playing.
Phillip Rivers actually started trending on Twitter when Ben threw that pass.
That's a Phillip Rivers. Daggummit.
You're like, what? How is that a catch? It's an incredible
That was his
throw.
Second Phillip Rivers throw of the game because he did his interception in the first quarter. Where
that was also a talking point for stupidity.
He's about to get sacked. He just throws it up. Although, you know, it could have been worse. He could have been Derek Carr and just thrown it 10 rows in the stands on fourth down and not giving your receiver a chance.
Well, that would have been better, though, than what happened.
But that James Washington play, that was bonkers because that could have been a pick six. Like, we're sitting here and praising this, but you're talking about a Steelers team that had like they win the game. But we're talking about a team that had eight or nine drops to that point. James Washington has three guys around him, and it could have been a pick six. The Ravens could have just picked it off, period, falling down. They're only 30 yards from winning the game. I mean, it was insane that he threw that ball when he had made so many, and obviously it worked out, but he made so many good decisions, so many great throws, and that was like on the cusp of on the fine line of great throw and borderline craziness.
It was borderline crazy. There was nothing great about it except James Washington. But I will say this: maybe he thought they can't catch the easy passes, so I'll just throw something crazy up there and see what happens. And James Washington caught it.
Look, it was a huge conversion,
astronomical. But so let's go.
Chris Collins was like, Mike, we're gonna be talking about that catch for years to come in Pittsburgh.
Let's go through the list of, because at the end of the game, there was some minor controversy, not a lot, but the first controversial thing was the, I think the Big Ben's interception came first. So If you're going to, I'm fine with going for the fourth down there. I'm fine with throwing it. Derek Watt was wide open. I don't know
why he missed Watt. Well,
but here's the thing. Why is Watt your primary receiver there? Yeah. That's question one. Number two, throw it away. I'm fine with him getting the ball to one. RG3 is terrible. What you can't do is stack
and you can't throw a pick.
Just throw it away.
If the Ravens have any intelligence whatsoever, they take a knee and the ball's on the 20.
That's right. So you can't throw an interception in the end zone. And I'm fine eating it and throwing it in completion because the ball's at the one and let RG3 try to figure that out. But you can't throw a pick, and then you can't, if the Ravens, Tyus Bowles are, I think, intercepted, you can't run it out. So those are two stupid plays there by both parts.
Maybe I don't have a pick to Tyus Bowles either. Jeez.
You look at the throw from like behind, you're like, oh my God, he literally threw it right to him.
Well, and what happened was there was a receiver running. He was covered behind Tyus Bowles.
By three people, yes.
And it's like Ben was trying. I mean, you look at it, you're like, is that who you're trying to throw to? Like, what was the goal there?
So that was one sort of dumb play on both parts. The other one, I think, is at halftime. And Breach, you have the specifics because I don't remember the play by play.
Before we get to that, I am curious. So at that point, when Ben throws the pick,
it's right. That was the RG3 through the pick six.
But they're down 7-6. Or they up?
No, it was 0-0 when Ben threw the pick.
No, 6 well,
Ben, Ben's interception, it was 0-0.
I don't think that's correct. That's
yes.
True. Breach is usually pretty good at these things.
I know. Because the pick six was the first score of the game, and that came when the Ravens got the ball after Ben's interception.
Right. You're right. Okay, sorry. What am I looking at here?
Last year? Jinx?
Last year. Get out.
We both said it. But, to what you guys were saying about Tyus Bowser, though, is that if you don't have a clear path to the end zone, the other end zone for a 100-yard pick six, you don't take it out of the end zone when RG3 is your quarterback. You look at your first two possessions, you went three and out, and then your quarterback fumbled it because he couldn't run a zone read because he hasn't practiced in 10 days. So the fact that he tried to take it out and you give your team the ball at the 6-yard line, we are probably all thinking there's a good chance the Steelers defense is going to score here with the Ravens at their own six and RG3 turning the ball over like crazy. And that's exactly what happened. So you had the pick six. The RG3 threw on 3rd and 4 from the Ravens 12.
Okay, right. So it was RG3 fumbles, then Ben throws the pick, then it was the pick six back the other way. It was like back to because it was it
three straight possessions.
Three straight possessions. Okay. I don't know why when I'm looking at the Steelers possessions, it says field goal, interception. Weird. At any rate, yes. So that was the Steelers were looking. I think too, going for it there. The thought process is, you know, we get a touchdown here, and I mean that's we're two touchdowns away from this just being over,
right?
And if you don't score, the Ravens are at the 1-yard line. You know, if Ben throws out of the end zone, and again, the Ravens went three and out and fumbled on their first two possessions. So you like them as a Steelers defense. You want Baltimore to throw 1-yard line.
Yeah, they up to that point they had run 4 offensive plays for 2 yards, so it wasn't like if they get the ball to one, they're going to suddenly throw a 99-yard bomb.
So literally, Baltimore, the only thing you didn't want was a turnover where you take the ball out of the end zone and get the ball at the 7-yard line. Anything else would have been good.
Okay, so halftime, Wilson mentioned it, and Breach, you are good at these specifics, so why don't you set up the way that halftime unfolded, unless you want me to.
I'll just say it real quick. So the Ravens got down to the 4-yard line. They had a first and goal. They called a handoff, which I don't know if I would have done that because that
26 seconds and no timeouts, I believe.
The 26 seconds is when they used their last timeout. So if they had called a pass play there that either goes incomplete in the end zone, then the clock stops and you still have one timeout left. But instead they call a run play on first and goal from the 4. Obviously they have to call a timeout to stop the clock at the 26 second mark. They have no timeouts left at this point, but the play did gain 3 yards. So now you have 2nd and goal from the 1-yard line, with 26 seconds left. 26 seconds should be time to run 3 plays. So this should have been a no-brainer. But what they do is they run up the middle with no timeouts. There's a whole cluster of people on the ground, a pile, and the Steelers are just lollygagging, trying to get up. They waste, a good 15, 20 seconds?
I don't even know that I would call it lollygagging. I would say the Steelers are dead fishing it. they're piled out like completely. They're weakened at Bernie's inning it. Like they are just lying there completely dead. John Harbaugh is freaking out on the sidelines in a mask, losing his mind, screaming about a delay of game, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. And so then what we have is that by the time So again, the second and goal snap was taken with 26 seconds. By the time they got the third and goal snap off, there was only 3 seconds left. They tried to throw a pass to Luke Wilson, which was a great throw by RG3. Luke Wilson had it in his hand, should have caught it. Minka Fitzpatrick made a great play to knock it down. But by the time that ball hit the ground incomplete, the half was over. So the Ravens didn't even get a field goal. If they would have called this play with 5 seconds left, if there hadn't been so much dead fishing by the Steelers, then the Ravens have enough time to kick a field goal, which could have been potentially big because then it's 12-10 at halftime. It just makes it a different game, but no. So it was a pretty insane final 40 seconds. And I think you can fault both sides. Terry McCauley said on the broadcast, he thought the Steelers should have been called for delay a game. So it was pretty bonkers.
Yeah. So I think, I don't disagree with the idea that there could have been a delay of game called, but to me, it's sort of like John Harbaugh is like, he's mad that he jammed his hand in a hornet's nest and his hand is being stung. Because Chris Collinsworth and Mike Tirico, and I keep wanting to call him Al Michaels, and Tirico's look, by the way, fantastic. The hat, the
tight
the button up, like and the barber jacket on top, beautiful. So Tirico and Collinsworth's like, you know, Mike, like, you know, you can run it. He's like, you can run it once here, but you're probably only going to get two plays. It's a dangerous move. If you pass on that initial down with the clock stopped, you give yourself 3 plays, maybe, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least, you also needed to have the option, I guess they were prepared to run the second play, which was smart. You knew after you didn't get the run play, you were going to run that play to Luke Wilson. But the problem is you really needed points there. And if you, instead of running the play to Luke Wilson, if you spike it, you're getting 3 with Justin Tucker and you feel so much better going into halftime than they did. And then so instead, you know, they're going into halftime, down 12-7 instead of it being 12-10. And I realize that that's fairly minuscule in the larger scale of things, but it's a pretty huge deal when you.
No, it's not minuscule at all. It's a big deal.
It's a huge deal. You're playing a great defense in a must win rivalry game. Your starting quarterback is out with COVID. You're missing tons of players. You can't.
And your defense is playing out of its mind. It held the Steelers to 6 points because remember the other 6 came on the pick 6. Sure. So your defense literally only gave up 6 points in the first half. So only being down a field goal when you have the best kicker in the NFL on your team would have been huge.
It boggles my mind that you wouldn't throw on first down, or I guess it would be second down, right?
Yeah.
Throw on, because you call the timeout after first down. Throw on second down. Throw on third down and kick and get out of there. Run your two best. You basically have a shorter 2-point conversion. Run your two best plays in your playbook, and they have to, your two best passing plays.
Now we'll say this in their defense: RG3 clearly is breach point out with the mesh mess up on the second series. He hadn't practiced with these guys. He started 1 game in 2.5 years. He didn't play at all in 2017. I don't think he has a lot of experience. I'm assuming he knows the playbook, but knowing the playbook and executing is one thing. So maybe that was a concern. That doesn't excuse the stupidity with the play clock.
Well, right. But I mean, I sort of thought this before. And I mean, obviously this is hindsight, but running read option with RG3 and backup running backs in a hostile environment with nasty weather and limited practice is probably a bad idea. Like, you're asking him to read a defender. And that's what Pittsburgh does. I understand that gives you an advantage by the numbers, and that's probably, you need to bust out some crazy stuff.
But that advantage goes away if you fumble the ball because these guys haven't practiced together in 10 days or ever, except for 2 walkthroughs.
And not that RG3 was passing the ball well. It's just, it's a tough situation for him. I don't know that Lamar Jackson wins this game either, though, as close as it was. So they come out with no points before half, and it just sort of rips your, you know, just sort of, it really takes some wind out of your sails when you come out gunning like that and feel like you've got some momentum in the first half to steal a win in Pittsburgh in a huge spot. No points scored in the, well, you know, we'll talk about the second half after the break.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip. Maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
So 0 points scored in the third quarter. You're loving it for the under and thinking we just need a Pittsburgh touchdown. Ben marches the Steelers down the field. They're running like sort of an up-tempo passing game, short, quick hitters. It's working. It worked against the Ravens last time in the second half. Hits Juju Smith-Schuster for a one-yard touchdown, 19-7, and you think it's over. And then I guess that's when shenanigans happen. Is that when the next crazy thing happened, Wilson? What are we thinking here?
I was thinking the very end of the game.
The fourth down. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So then the Hollywood Brown, Trace McSorley thing happens, and then there's some nonsense with the fourth down, right?
Right. Sorry, I was muted. So the Steelers run the ball like they're on fourth down. They were done passing the ball because every receiver on the Steelers roster refused to catch the pass. Eric Ebron and Deontay Johnson chief among them. So they're running the ball. Benny Smith, stiff-armed Marcus Peters back to Baltimore, which was fun to watch, unless you're Marcus Peters. And then I think it was third down and a few yards, and Benny Snell looked to be about an inch short. And when they measured it, it actually looked to be short. Mike Tirico actually thought it was fourth and inches. They reviewed it, and again, I don't know why we don't have chips and footballs and why they don't have, you know, chips, lasers across the field where the first down marker is, but it's 2020. Why would you expect technology to be a big part of this? So they reviewed it. The play stood as called, so it was first down, and they just ran out the clock. I would understand why John Harbaugh was understandably upset by it. I don't think necessarily they were going to win that game. I don't even know if the Steelers would have gone for it. I would have gone for a Big Ben sneak, but knowing Big Ben, he would have fumbled the ball and gotten hurt in the process, so... maybe you punt it down to the 10 and let Trace McSorley work that Trace McSorley magic.
Well, let's forget about the review. Let's pretend the review didn't happen. Did you guys think the measurement was enough for a first down?
No, I just said no.
It clear cut should have been fourth and like, inches, right? Like fourth and an inch.
Yeah, it looked like an inch. That's right. But, you know, they didn't pull out the Gene Steratore index card. Then they would have gotten it right.
I think we just sort of given up hope that the officials will be.
Well, that's not why the Ravens lost, but it was this annoying.
I mean, but this happens every game. It's like there's billions of dollars at stake. There's jobs at stake. There's future contracts at stake. There are playoff spots at stake. There's, again, millions of dollars being gambled, millions of dollars in fantasy football at stake. And you're trusting a bunch of old blind men wearing striped shirts and Isotoner shoes to make judgment calls of lightning quick athletes with their like lens crafter contacts in. What are we doing?
And if it had been fourth and inches, the Steelers could have run the clock down to about 38 seconds. So the Ravens, if they stopped them on fourth and inches, if Ben failed on this QB sneak, Baltimore would have gotten the ball back with just over 30 seconds left, and they would have needed about 55 yards to score. But obviously, they threw a 70-yard touchdown on the last possession, so who's to say they couldn't have done it? They wouldn't have had any timeouts. Yeah. I mean, literally anything. By the way, James Washington.
Who's to say they wouldn't have? Everybody. There was no way there. Trace McSorley would have thrown another touchdown pass.
Have you ever listened to that song, man?
As a Ravens fan and as a Ravens player and as a Ravens coach, you'd like to at least have the chance.
No, that's right. Yeah. I don't have any disagreement with that. It was a minor controversy. It was, annoying at least and super annoying at most. I will say this. And if I were Mike Tomlin, I would make the wide receivers run sprints after practice like it was high school. And I would make Deontay Johnson and Juju Smith-Schuster run extra and Deontay Johnson run extra on top of that. Because if you were playing the Ravens and if Marlon Humphreys is anywhere near you, he will punch the ball out. Why this isn't clear, it is one of the most frustrating things to watch as a Steelers fan, to watch Marlon Humphrey just punch the ball every single time. It happened last year for sure in Pittsburgh when they lost the game. Juju fumbled against Marlon Humphrey. It happened this game. Marlon Humphrey punched it out against Juju, went out of bounds, happening against Deontay Johnson late in the game, who carries the ball like Rashard Mendenhall, which drives me crazy. And that went out of bounds as well. But those balls could have bounced in, you know, fumbles are luck, and Football Outsiders has been doing research on that forever. But the Steelers got lucky twice because the ball went out of bounds. But both times, Marlon Humphrey doing what Marlon Humphrey does, and no one seems to be aware that that's what he does. So, there. That's my
right. By the way, in unfortunate injury news relating from this game, Bud Dupree, according to a report from Mike Garofalo, suffered a torn ACL. Initial test revealed that was sort of obvious while it was live, which sounds kind of crazy, I guess, but it sure did look that way. And that sucks because Bud Dupree was playing really good football, was about to hit free agency, and now is going to be coming off a torn ACL suffered late in the season, which is going to make it obviously much more difficult to get a contract.
Yeah, he should be.
The Steelers to franchise tag him.
He should be healthy to go if everything's fine. But again, that's summertime. You like to get paid January, February, March, obviously.
Right, exactly.
Again,
that's a big blow, though, for the Steelers in the playoffs.
Yeah, but I mean, everyone's battling injuries. We saw this Ravens team decimated by players on both sides of all. Their defense showed up, and their defense showed up against a really good offense. So, you know, they'll double team TJ Watt now, and now you hope Alex Highsmith, their third round pick, who's actually played pretty well, can offer something. So he won't offer Bud Dupree type stuff because Bud Dupree's been playing like a crazy person. But yeah, it sucks. In fact, when you saw it, because he started beating the ground, he slipped. It was non-contact. And just started pounding the ground. And it was weird because I saw it go, well, that's terrible. And neither Al nor Chris mentioned it. And they didn't say anything until a few plays later when he walked off the field. And when you can, if you get up and walk off the field, that doesn't mean anything. You could have still done some damage.
It means nothing.
Right. But so at first I thought maybe it was his Achilles. So the fact that he walked was good news. But, you know, you don't.
Achilles would be worse, I think.
I think so. So the fact that he was able to walk off the field gave me some hope. But.
Yeah, I mean, a torn ACL is not the end of the world. It's the timing. The timing sucks for right. Bud Dupree because he was about to hit free agency, and the timing sucks for the Steelers because they basically had the best pass rushing duo in football between Dupree and TJ Watt, and now TJ Watt's going to see a lot more double teams.
Here's the good news. I mentioned Alex Highsmith, third round pick. They also have Tyson Alualu, who's number one, according to Pro Football Focus, in the middle. Steph Tuitt, who didn't play today because he's on the COVID list, who's like top 10 in terms of interior edge rusher. Cam Hayward, who's top 5. So if there's one place where you could withstand some losses, it's the defensive line. So I think they'll be okay there. Obviously, losing Bud Dupree is a huge problem, but they're pretty stout up front.
One thing I will say real quick about the Ravens, I'm going to go back to them real quick. Brinson, you mentioned they only got into Steelers territory 4 times in this game. So you think they'd be looking to maximize points? I thought one curious decision I saw people kind of wondering about on Twitter was the fact that they punted from the Steelers 39-yard line on 4th and 12 instead of attempting a field goal. This was their opening first possession of the second half. They had just stopped the Steelers on a 4th down. They drove into Pittsburgh territory. They got to the Steelers 37-yard line on 3rd down. They're in easy field goal range at that point. Then they lose 2 yards on a run, which I don't know what you're doing on 3rd and 10 from 37, why you're running it unless you're trying to set up a field goal. And now it's 4th and 12 from the 39. So they can try a 57-yard field goal. They have Justin Tucker. And when you're playing a game where points are at a premium, you know, you got to consider this. I think Tucker thought they were going to kick because he started stepping on the field. And then John Harbaugh's like, nah, man, we're punting it. And I think the issue there was, what?
Would you have kicked there?
I would have kicked there with Tucker. And I mean, obviously Tucker thought he was going to make it, but here's the issue. Here's why Harbaugh didn't do it. It was in the open end of Heinz Field. The longest field goal ever in an NFL game at Heinz Field is 53 yards in the regular season.
That's 53 yards.
That's it. And so you're talking about, there's been a couple 55 yarders in the preseason, but we're talking about regular season pressure. It's usually the weather's a little bit colder because you're later in the year. Yeah. So you're talking about nobody's ever hit a field goal longer than 53 yards in an NFL regular season game at Heinz Field. So I think that made Harbaugh kind of hesitate there, and he did not want to give the Steelers field position at the 47-yard line, which is where they would get it if Tucker missed. But, you know, it's a 12-7 game. A field goal cuts it to 12-10. And I feel like a guy like a normal kicker probably has about a 40% shot of hitting that at Heinz Field. I would say Tucker's probably closer to 65 or 70. And I'm taking that chance in a 12-7 game and giving him a shot to make it.
An average field goal kicker has a 0% chance of making a 57-yard open in Heinz Field. Are you saying 40%? They've never made it.
No, it wouldn't it wouldn't be 0% though, because there's kickers who have hit 57-yarders who maybe have not gotten a chance to attempt one at Heinz Field.
It's not 40% is my point.
It's not 0%.
Are you like the math guy?
I love that you're telling me how probabilities work. I understand that. I was saying it for effect, but it's not 40%. Breach is drunk.
It's not 0%.
All right, Breach didn't know anything about kicking. Breach brought out.
I was surprised they didn't kick the
about
field
the longest field goal made in Heinz Field in the regular season. Ryan's like, that's not 40%. It's like 38.9.
This is the same Breach who ran a 15-minute marathon and can throw a ball 80 yards. So let's take it easy.
I will blindly believe anything Breach says about kicking field goals.
I don't dispute the 65 to 70% on the Tucker side. I don't know if 4 out of 10 kickers, 2 out of 5 could make.
Jake Elliott tried a 57-yarder at Heinz Field earlier this season. Do you remember what happened, Debo? Debo's muted. I'll spoil it. Yeah. That's what Ryan, you have to watch YouTube. Ryan was the ref.
Well, it's not that you can't get the distance. It's that you can't get the accuracy.
There's wind, it swirls. Yeah. And, you know, obviously from that length, if the wind's in your face, you might not be able to get the ball there. So there's a lot of factors that go into it. But again, I was surprised the Ravens did not try to hit that. If they had made it, it would have been 12-10, with 9 minutes left in the third quarter.
Yeah. I mean, I would definitely, what do you get to lose? And we say that all the time.
I was going to say, do you think that it mattered to Harbaugh the fact that previously he had not gotten the points at halftime?
Why would that matter?
Well, so if it was 12 to 10, maybe if they had gotten a field goal before halftime, would his thinking have been different?
You're like, all right, screw it. Let Tucker kick for the lead.
And then hold on to our defense.
Maybe not even like it didn't affect his decision making so much as he was sort of on tilt from what happened before half.
You know, it's hilarious. You know, it's trending right now. Worst 11-0. Guess what? They're still 11-0, baby. I mean, they very well could.
Isn't it weird that there's no, remember when the Panthers went on their, I think they lost the Falcons in like week 14 or week 15. Maybe.
What they end up, how many did they win in a row? 15-1. How many did they win in a row to start? Remember? Anyway, people were calling in the worst whatever, no team.
But like every week there was a new article about how the Panthers were, so they got to 14-0 and lost the Falcons in week 16. And every week from like week 10, it was like, is this the worst 9-0? Is this the worst 10-0? Is this the worst 11-0 team of all time? And it was like clickbait headlines left and right. The Steelers haven't gotten one of those, and they're very clearly just not one of the best 11-0 teams ever.
Well, and it's crazy because I feel like people are talking about it. As Wilson just said, it's trending on Twitter. Just no one's writing the article. It's almost like the writer doesn't want to deal with the wrath of Steelers fans. Yes. Because look, you look at their schedule. They've only played two teams that have a winning record. They played Baltimore twice, and they've played the Titans. Like that's it.
Here's the thing. If they had lost to the Jaguars last week, no one would care that they were, no one's saying they're the worst 10-1 team ever. Cause it doesn't matter. It's just one game and people are like, oh, it's undefeated and they want to whinge about that. And that's fine.
Well, I mean, so they should have lost. Okay. Like they beat the crap out of the Bengals and Jaguars the last 2 weeks. They took care of business against the Ravens this week, but it wasn't easy and the Ravens are tough and missing Lamar Jackson, but that, so asterisks are there or whatever. They should have lost the Cowboys. Definitely should have lost the Ravens the week before that. Beat the Titans by 3.
They should have gone to overtime. Goskowski missed a field goal with like a minute left in that game.
And then the first 3 weeks, they were like limping around, messing with the Texans, Broncos, and Giants. I do think that lately, though, you have to give a little bit more credit because Ben is playing really well. And we've seen this before with Steelers teams where Ben, and this is different as well because he's coming back from the injury thing, but he's come out of the gate slow. The defense has played well. Other aspects of the team have picked it up. And then when Ben realized it's getting later in the year and the offense needs to get going, he starts to play better.
He's the guy at the Shoney's buffet that hears last call because he was slow walking it during the first 3 hours of the buffet. 15 minutes, bell goes off. He's like, all right, I got
to
go get Shoney's.
And then he has to get 7 plates and they have to keep Shoney's open 3 hours past closing time.
That's right.
Or he's like walking through the 3.5K, like the 3.5K or like 5K walk. He's like strolling and it's like, oh, I gotta hit my time, and then just all of a sudden this blitz creaking the last mile.
That's called breaching it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and it works. Like, I'll take that as a compliment. They're 11-0. I'll be the worst marathon runner of all time if I'm hitting my 3.5 hour mark.
Well, but the Steelers actually won their 11 games.
They didn't lie their way through the
race. You know what's funny though is that we all, I think we talked about this briefly on Sunday. We all agree, like we unanimously agree that the Steelers are not the best team in the AFC and that I don't even have them in my top two because I said I thought the Titans were the number two team in the AFC, even though obviously they lost the Steelers, but that was a long time ago.
And who else did they lose to?
Who?
The Titans.
Well, I mean, that plays into why I'm building them up, Wilson. They lost to the amazing Joe Burrow-led Cincinnati Bengals.
I mean, they're good. Don't get me wrong. I think they're a good team. I think the Bills are a good team. I think the Steelers are second behind the Chiefs just because they beat the Titans. And the Titans have played better, clearly, since that loss to the Bengals. But I don't even know how you explain that loss. That's what's so hard to get my head around. Like, I get, like, the Steelers struggling against bad teams. They do that all the time. And the Titans beating some bad teams or whatever. But the debate, like, how do you go in that game and just not show up? That's my only concern about the team. They're third right now in the division in the conference for me, though.
I mean, the only thing I would defend the Titans with is that they were coming off the Steelers game. One of those classic trap games.
Are you saying the Titans are third or the Steelers are third?
I'm saying the Titans are third.
Behind the Steelers and the Chiefs.
Right.
And I'm saying the Steelers are third.
You have to put the Steelers second. Even if you don't trust them as much, you have to put the Steelers second. I do think the Bud Dupree thing matters.
Yeah, it does.
The lack of a running game, I think, matters.
Yeah, James Conner will be back, but the offensive line is not a good run.
And he still ran pretty well tonight.
He did a great job, and I did appreciate the Marcus Peters stiff arm.
Obliterating Marcus Peters, smashing his soul into the ground.
All right, Juju had a nice stiff arm in the first half, too.
Yeah. Let's look at the Steelers' schedule coming up. They have the Washington football team in 5 days.
Yeah, it's on Monday at 5 p.m.
Then they're at Buffalo, at Cincinnati, Indianapolis, and at Cleveland. Do the Steelers secure the number one seed in the AFC, and or do they run the table?
No, they're not going to run the table. They have some tough games.
Yeah, I don't think they'll run the table either.
They have two and a half tough games. You want to consider the Browns a tough game?
I think Washington is a tough game.
Washington will be a tough game because, again, you have that defensive front.
You can't run on them.
That's fine. The Steelers don't like to run the ball. Anyway, you're going to have 50 passes from Big Ben as usual, but you have to make sure he's not taking Chase Young body slams.
Yep.
But I think the offense will mirror sort of what we saw with the Ravens offense, and that Alex Smith ain't going to light it up. He's more competent than RG3 for sure, but it's not like a big play offense outside of Scary Terry and Antonio Gibson, somebody you have to keep an eye on. What else is there?
Yeah.
And the crazy thing is, I agree with Ryan that I don't think they're going to run the table, but if the Chiefs and Steelers both go 15-1, which is absolutely possible, the tiebreaker is
Chiefs are going to get the tiebreaker.
The tiebreaker is record against common opponents.
Right. Didn't they go to conference record first?
And then, but they'd both be 8-1, I think.
But the 8-1.
Steelers on the NFC teams.
Chiefs
left
will win the tiebreaker.
Unless the Steelers' only loss is to Washington, then yes, the Steelers would win the tiebreaker.
So they should lose to Washington is what you're saying.
They probably don't want to lose
anyone.
Actually,
not a crazy idea to just tank against Washington and run the table the rest of the way.
Just forfeit the game to Washington. You play in 5 days and then rest everyone. Get back on the field.
I wonder what Roger Goodell would do if, like, Mike Tomlin said, hey, yeah, we're just not showing up. Give us the
You made us play on Wednesday. You postponed our game 3 times. You screwed us over. We're forfeiting.
Well, the Steelers players wouldn't get paid. That's the problem.
And they
Tomlin would pay him out of his own pocket.
And they would 100% take the Steelers' first-round pick. I guarantee it would be some punishment, like insane, like because you can't just say I'm not showing up, even if you feel slighted.
On a Monday night game?
Yeah.
Was that game on
Fox.
CBS?
Fox, 5 p.m. Breach just said that.
Fox, 5 p.m. Oh, speaking of Washington, Russell Westbrook and John Wall just got swapped.
I didn't know John Wall was still playing, to be honest with you.
John Wall's like 28. I was just the Tebow effect. The Ravens. Are the Ravens making the playoffs?
Chris Collinsworth tried to sell it towards the end of the game. They're ninth right now. So they're behind Las Vegas as the last team on the outside looking in. But I mean, let's see. Are they better than the Colts? Are they better than the Dolphins? Are they better than the Browns?
Yes, Dolphins, no Colts.
And are they better than the Dolphins with Ryan Fitzpatrick? In terms of the games you have left to win.
Dolphins hype. I'm not going to get yelled at by Dolphins fans again, but the Dolphins hype is a little out of control.
All right. So I think Cleveland's probably safe at 8-3. Dolphins, they have some work to do. But again, they're only a game back of Miami and Indy. The Vegas and Baltimore are at 6-5. So.
And you look at, if you're the Chiefs or the Steelers, whoever's the two seed, you could be staring at playing the Ravens or the Raiders or the Colts, who could potentially be that seventh seed. I mean, to me, that's because those are all teams that could beat maybe the Chiefs or the Steelers. I don't think the point spread would, I mean, against, if you're the Chiefs, you don't want to play the Raiders. You know, you've had two crazy games, and looking at the common opponents between the Steelers and the Chiefs, there's a minimum of four games, and I don't think they have enough. So I think the actual tiebreaker would be strength of victory.
Oh, that's Kansas City, without question, just without looking. I mean, they've blown out more people than the Steelers, I would imagine.
The Chiefs' strength of victory right now is 420. Ha ha. And the Steelers is 413.
Oh, okay. How about
so
that?
It is right there. Very, very interesting.
This is interesting. So first round at the playoffs, and it started today, blah, blah, blah. The Chiefs are facing the Colts, and that's a tough game. But the Bills at number four are facing the Browns at number five. So, I mean, it's like the you hit that sweet spot of mediocrity. The three Titans play the sixth offense. So it is a weird year because there are good teams that are going to be lower seeded and provide tougher competition for the one and two seeds.
Brian, what do you think the most likely spot is for a Steelers loss? You said they don't think you're going to, you said you do not think they're going to go undefeated.
They could lose to the Colts. Where's that Colts game?
Week 16.
Where is it?
Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I think the Colts will beat him.
The only issue I have is Phillip Rivers, because if it's indoors, he'll be better, but he could throw four interceptions in that game. The Colts, but I think the Bills also will play them tough. That'll be in Buffalo. And then the Browns at the end of the year might have something to play for. If the Browns have 10 wins at that point, they may be like, we're going to the playoffs. We don't care. And Baker, who's a game manager at this point, maybe doesn't feel pressure to do anything. So I think I'll say Colts, then Bills, then Browns in terms of most likely loss. Watch them lose to a football
team. Hey, Ben doesn't lose to the Browns.
Yeah, but I mean, football team could, but I just think that's a big ask for Alex.
They also have a Monday night game. I won't say where or who they're playing. Let's not rule that out.
Who do you want to be the quarterback of that game for the Bengals? Like, who was your
bring back Andy Dalton?
Joe Burrow with his torn ACL would be the Bengals' best shot of winning.
Joe Burrow in a wheelchair, please. I'll take that.
I mean, can these friggin' guys grow up and bring out my boy Ryan Finley? He's just better than Brandon Allen.
He came out and then he came back off.
Ryan Finley literally got the job and then benched before he even got to play a game, which might be my favorite.
The Chiefs are on a 6-game win streak. Their only loss this year is that crazy Raiders game in Arrowhead where it was 40-32. And they have Denver at home on Sunday night. Denver quarterbacks will be back. At Miami, at New Orleans, Atlanta, and the Chargers.
Yeah, so New Orleans is the Steelers' best hope to get a little breathing room.
The Steelers really need the Chiefs to find a loss somewhere.
I think the Dolphins game can be tricky for them because their defense has been so good all season. And if Ryan Fitzpatrick's the quarterback.
Yeah, I'm sure that the Dolphins defense can slow down Patrick Mahomes.
I mean,
I will say this, though. One last thing about the Steelers being 11-0. This is how the Steelers play every year, but usually they're 7-5 or something, so no one's paying attention. They just have gotten lucky. So they very easily could be the worst or second worst 11-0 team. I don't think anyone really cares, except, you know, people that are bored on social media. But this is how they play every single season. The benefit is their defense is really good, and Roethlisberger's getting rid of the ball quickly. They're still doing a lot of the same harebrained things that make you crazy as a fan, but they just happen to have gotten luckier than they have in the past.
And Dolphins have given up the second fewest points in the NFL.
If I were betting on it, I would take the Chiefs to get the number one seed.
Yeah. I mean, it's usually this is the feeling Steelers fans have when they're talking about the division.
They're 11-0. It's like, well, the shoe's going to drop at some point.
But you only have you keep winning and you only have a one game lead on the Chiefs. It's tough.
They're like, they could go 15-1 and you won't get the first seed. That would be tough.
So that's a reality.
That would be tough. And it's like in the first year where the one seed gets the bye.
Well, that would make the NFL look stupid for taking the 2-bye system away. Cause you've never had an instance like that where just, you know, you have two teams that are head and shoulders above everyone. They get their byes usually and now they don't.
Well, and let's get on this, but what are the chances? So now we have a team in Baltimore that's 6-5, the ninth seed that is ultimately, and you know, I don't know if Tennessee has this issue really, but. You know, like Indianapolis is the 7 seed. They could, in theory, fall to the 8 seed, and they lost to the Titans because they were missing guys because of COVID. has there been enough that's happened for the NFL to enact the 18 per side playoff rule?
What are they waiting for? I mean, we just had a game that moved. What's today?
9 days. Sorry, six days. 6 days. 9 days.
6 days. And it moved three.
It moved from 1 month to another month.
And they had 20 something people that were on the list at some point, the Ravens did. So I don't know what else has to happen.
Well, I think that under the approval that they voted on, that games actually have to be canceled, and those games have to have a bearing on the playoff race. So until a game gets canceled, I think 16 team playoff is out of the question.
Okay, so we think the NFL doesn't want the 16 teams playoffs.
I would think that because they seem pretty hell-bent on not letting a game get canceled.
Yeah. Because they could have just canceled this game.
Very easily. And this would have been,
all right, 8 teams, and more money.
Then no one gets a bye.
I think they're just trying to, like, it's like when you're not the, like, in theory, you've been driving down the highway and you get pulled over and you need to get a little ways down the road before you get pulled over. You're just gassing it and you're just trying to get to the next gas station. It's a bad example.
Yeah, I'm confused.
Let's say you're just trying to get, you know, you're almost about to run out of gas.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And okay. You're just trying to stretch it to the exit.
You're talking about the NFL overall, right?
Yeah. Like they know that, like,
gotta get there.
I've said in the past, they're trying to run out the clock on COVID. That's what they're trying to do.
What's, you know, in, I think new car, I don't know if new cars do this. My car does this. Actually, my AK's car does this too. Hers is newer, but it's like, they stop because they don't want the liability of you running out of gas. So they don't have to be like, you have 3 miles left. It's like you hit 25. It says low.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mine at that point, the responsibility is on you, the driver, to fill it up with gas. And you have to, and I think the NFL might be on low right now.
The NFL is Kramer with the rental car or with the test drive.
Right. That's right.
And yeah. I don't know who's sitting in the passenger seat. I don't know who that is NFL.
The car salesman.
No. In terms of the NFL sort of analogy. I don't know.
Roger Goodell?
Sure.
John Breach? Right, let's get out of here. Jim Breach? Okay. That's the podcast. That's the recap of Wednesday afternoon football. Thanks for listening. Is there a show tomorrow?
DFS will be out at...
What the hell's happening on Thursday? Just three shows on Wednesday?
DFS will be out at noon.
Oh, we recorded that today. What is wrong with me?
So this will carry you a little bit. Then by, you know, lunchtime tomorrow, listen to Week 13 DFS. Best bets on Friday.
Awesome. Great stuff as always, guys. Talk to you soon.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.